Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there's enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry. I am so honored today because I have Whitney Baker with me. Whitney founded her company, Electric Ideas, with a mission of lighting women up with a new sense of possibility. Through workshops and other program offerings, she helps women around the globe connect with their inner knowing and move past feeling stuck. Whitney also hosts the globally ranked Electric Ideas podcast, where she discusses ideas and practices to help women come home to themselves and live with greater intention. Thank you so much for being here today, Whitney.
Oh, I'm delighted. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So I would love to just really dive into your journey, how you got here today, and then we'll go deeper.
Sure. Well, I think right now today, I'm founder of Electric Ideas, and it's a company that is completely dedicated to lighting women up with a new sense of possibility. And in a past life, balance and fulfillment is something I struggled with a lot. I went from a very stress burnout environment as a creative in global marketing. And I tried everything once I became a mom. I tried working 5 days, 4 days, 3 days, intentional pause, and then freelancing. And I hit a point where I realized that I had started to feel relieved when I wasn't getting good freelance offers. And it was finally a major sign that something had to shift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And so when that shift happened, what were those steps? Because I know you said you started to like slowly dwindle away from like working 5 days to four to three, the freelancing wasn't really working out as you expected. But what was that shift? How did you go about that?
Well, it's complicated. And I think that's a good place to start with some of your listeners, because a lot of people think someone gets an idea and then things just happen and you overnight. And I have to say, part of the first shift for me was finally having the courage to get out of that environment where I was, you know, traveling and leading global accounts and that sort of thing, and get off the hamster wheel, because not having that security was scary. Yeah. And so it took a while for me just to unwind from being in that always on environment. I have forgiven myself now, but I have to tell you, Dr. Caroline, like the first weeks when I was had quit my full-time job and was just taking a little pause, I was in a coffee shop on Monday working on my resume for freelancing. I mean, I was just in a different mode, and it's like I could not give myself a break. Slowly over time, I began to unravel a little bit from that and give myself permission to start exploring some of the pieces of myself and my identity that I'd really abandoned. And I think one of the things people don't talk a lot about, especially for women who during childbearing years sometimes have to make a transition, that we stop something and it just feels murky, because so much of our identity was wrapped up in a role that we'd worked so hard for. And then when it stops and we don't have that community and that industry, it can be lonely. It can just be a very weird time and a major transition for so many females. So that's part of my journey. I'll pause there since I know it's a lot.
Yes, no, it's a lot to digest, but in a good way. And I think it spoke volumes too, because I think a lot of people struggle with this, where they get in that cycle, just what you said, after you quit your full-time job and then doing your resume, like making sure it gets out for freelancing right away. I love that you gave yourself that permission to pause for a little bit after that. You realize what was going on. And I think a lot of times people struggle in that phase where they're like, well, I got to do this, or I left my full-time job, now I have to start my business right away in order to make money, or whatever it is. But I don't think we give ourselves that grace period to really just
come down from all the stuff we had and like all the losing the community we had, losing just like that role that we used to fulfill and work so hard for. And that can be such a weird transition, because I know I had a weird transition with that. I was like, just like you, I was like, okay, well, I need to get my website up and I need to hire a coach and I need to do 20 million things to make sure. But I got caught in that cycle of burnout as well, because I just wasn't really focusing on myself or giving myself permission and grace to like take a step back and pause with intention. And I know you talk a lot about intention. I know with a lot of your workshops and your mastermind and everything else that you just embody and on your podcast too. But I'm curious. So once you really did start to give yourself that permission to take a pause and move forward from there, what were those next steps after you're like, okay, let me just have a little grace for myself right now?
Yeah, well, part of a meaningful exercise that helped me crystallize what I wanted to do is to reflect on what I was doing currently professionally and what gaps I thought doing something different were going to fulfill for me. Like, what did I really feel like was missing? And I'll give you a perfect example, because then the exercise goes a little farther. And I encourage, even if you're an established entrepreneur, this might help you have a breakthrough into your next offer or your next evolution. So you kind of say, for instance, for me, when I was working independently, I appreciated that it was flexible, but all of a sudden I was getting jobs that were behind the scenes and I felt like I was not connected. Like, I was in a creative and I'd come up with the ideas and be all excited and like direct them. And then I'd get cut off from it and other people would implement or present, because a lot of companies I worked with didn't want people to even know that someone else was like driving the creative. So it just felt, I was actually really missing the intellectual rigor and idea generation that I'd had in previous career environments. And so one of the things I was, a mentor told me to do was think about how I can invite that in somewhere else in my life, just because, and I've learned this through practice, like focusing on lack usually doesn't help. Right. And so one of the things I did was I made this massive list of what I thought was kind of missing, air quote. And I, for example, for that intellectual piece, I joined a classics book club in my neighborhood, and it ended up being a great experience for me, because I mean, it just was something I was missing, and it put me in a totally vulnerable, different area. I was reading books I would have never read and just talking to interesting people, and my energy just started lighting up. I was excited to do that. So that's just one example of many things I started to try. I took piano lessons because I felt like I wasn't having enough creative flow time, because even though I was still working in some capacity, I didn't feel like I was just able to experience that as much as I had or wanted to. So I started just giving myself permission to play and explore and reconnect with these parts of me that I'd kind of abandoned.
I love that you were able to do that. And I think I was just kind of like lighting up too. It's like, that's so amazing that you kind of took that creativity and allowed it to be applied to other places and play with it and with the flow, because I know just even your podcast, Electric Ideas, of understanding the different ideas that are out there. But I think really it started with you, and you can speak more to this, of course, but I love that you made a list and started really going through that of, okay, well, what is missing? How can I fulfill that in certain areas with piano or reading the book or book club with your community and doing all these different things that were really allowing that creativity to flow? Because I can't even imagine having all these great ideas and then the company taking them and presenting them, but you're like, wait, but this is my idea. So I can't imagine that, but I think it's great that you were able to take that step back and start really doing that inner work, it sounds like, to have that growth, to allow more flow into what was the next step. And after you started doing that, what transpired from that when you started really connecting and playing with these ideas and different aspects?
Oh gosh. I mean, it was just a really encouraging time, because I'd gone through years we're talking here of quitting, intentionally pausing, freelancing and feeling dissatisfied and having just this feeling that I had, like, I wanted to serve. I felt like I have like creativity and so much energy and I wanted to contribute. And then also this guilt, like, how lucky am I that I have the flexibility to work part-time right now? Cause I've worked all my life and I have a partner and watch my kids. Like, who am I to ask for more right now? It's almost like I couldn't even really share and express with everybody that I was not feeling fulfilled.
Yeah.
And so it was so many things. It was a reclaiming of myself, but then honestly overcoming some of that mindset that I think that for every person is very individual, but only you know how your life feels to you. And really being able to, like you said, like slow down and reconnect and listen to yourself was a massive step in me being able to move into starting Electric Ideas.
Mm-hmm. No, I appreciate you sharing that because a lot of times there is a lot of guilt around privilege or different aspects that we have, but you're right. Everybody's life is different and you might see just the outside of somebody's life, but you have no idea what's going on in that family, but then also internally with that person as well. And that's why I think it's so important that we don't judge people, but also just reconnect and learn more and understand and have that open mind. And mindset is such an important aspect of when we are going through a healing journey or just reconnecting with ourselves. And I love that you didn't let any outside factors really play into that when you started really focusing in on yourself and not allowing the guilt to really take form and just continue on. Like, you were able, it sounds like, to stop that. And how did you stop that? Because I think so many people struggle with that guilt factor, whether it's mom guilt or just guilt for the things we have or the opportunities that we've been afforded, anything like that, or worked for as well. But how have you gone through that?
Sure. I think one of the main shifts for me that just keeps getting deeper and deeper, to be honest, is just switching my lens to recognizing that when I'm fulfilled and lit up by my work, I'm a better mom, I'm a better community member, I'm a better colleague and collaborator. And so shifting that narrative from, you know, doing what's right for you, from it being selfish to it being brave, mm-hmm. has been a major, major transition for me. And when I think about what I'm doing as being the most of service to the world, it really just has changed my whole approach to work.
I love that. And I appreciate you sharing that because I think it's something to hone in on, because a lot of times, just from what I've heard from past clients and just people in my life too, there's like this sense of guilt or like, I shouldn't be doing this, I should be doing that. But really reframing that is so important, of just like the service that you're bringing to the world and how you're showing up, and just recognizing that too, because we all try to do the best we can with what we have, but also growing into what we want to be and what we want to be for others as well. And I love how you put that. It was so beautifully said.
And thank you.
Of course, of course. And with that being said, I'm curious, because I know you've worked so hard on your podcast. You have such amazing guests, such amazing conversations. So once the podcast started, because I know it's been out for a while now and so many incredible guests, what was that experience like when you first started to now?
Oh my gosh. Well, I think that maybe I'll say this because I think it'll help people. One of a major thing that I needed to, like, a lesson I needed to learn, is that showing up authentically with different pieces of you that might seem incongruent could be your super special sauce. So a lot of what I struggled with before I launched Electric Ideas is that I have tons of facilitation and I've done all of that and I have a ton of energy, but I'm also like very spiritual and reflective and need big chunks of quiet time. And it felt like I had to pick, like, well, what am I going to do? Which person am I going to be? And when I just decided, wait a minute, like, could this possibly be something where I get to be both and I get to be whole and people can relate to that was like my, and so starting Electric Ideas was quite vulnerable because it's all about lighting women up with a new sense of possibility, but really it's introspection and thinking about living intentionally, but having it be approachable and fun. So it's not like high on a mountain or just not feeling relevant to the everyday woman's life. Mm-hmm. And by allowing it to just be a little bit more open and use my two different things or two different pieces of my personality, letting them merge really became what distinguishes me. Mm-hmm.
I couldn't agree more because you're right. Like just like your energy too. I know you're very spiritual, but also like the way you can guide a conversation from all the podcasts I've listened to on your podcast in particular, but really being able to merge the two and knowing that you don't have to choose. And I think that's so important because a lot of times people are like, well, I don't want to start because it has to be this way or it has to be that way. But really understanding like that superpower, like you said, we all have a superpower. It's just being able to merge the different parts of us because we all have different parts. We're not just one dimensional. At least I don't think so. But yeah.
Yes. And for anybody who's, you know, I don't care if you sell t-shirts or you sell it, you have an online business, whatever you're selling, I think more and more people are just craving a little less formality almost, but you know, it's like, they want to not only know your brand, they want to know the face behind the brand. They want to know who they're buying from a little bit. And so really allowing yourself to show up in your business in a way that honors your different sides actually makes it, it's great for business, but it makes it so easy. Because, you know, people, I think, get the most nervous in their companies and in their brands when they think that they need to act, be, or be, you know, really rigid with how they're representing their brand. Mm-hmm. They overthink it. But when they're like, my brand, my business is an extension of me. Mm-hmm. And so if, as long as I'm showing up in a way that feels like I have good intentions and authentic, it's okay, you know?
Exactly. And you know, it's interesting you say that because I think when I first started my business, I was very rigid of like how I was presenting myself because like coming from the psychology world, you're taught like you don't show like anything on social media. Like that was my error to kind of date myself a little bit, but now it's more open and people are more open to it, like in the psychology world of being on social media. But I think to your point, it's really knowing like when we show up as ourselves, people connect with that because we're human. At the end of the day, we're all human. Maybe what we've done is different, but at the end of the day, we all have a beating heart and that's the difference. And I think too, understanding that and really just allowing yourself to show up authentically, and that can be scary. Like you think it would be easy, but sometimes it's scary if you're like trained a certain way or you're worried about judgment or anything along those lines, but really taking a step back and showing up as you, you're able to connect to more people. People can actually, they're buying whatever you're selling, but at the same time, they're buying you. It's like that personal branding that's really come more full circle, I think, across the board where people want to know like what you're mentioning about you and like what you stand for, your values, and being able to connect on that. Because I think it's more than just a product or a brand. It's really everything that's underneath that. So I really appreciate you sharing that. And so moving into your podcast and every, like, I know it has grown so much, but what was that process like actually starting it? So if somebody is listening, that's starting a podcast, that might not know, what are the first steps in doing that?
Sure. Well, I would say actually starting a podcast is not as complicated as you would think. There's a very basic set of, you know, technical setup and materials, but it's the barrier is pretty low. And that's something that people don't know about the industry. I mean, I record all my podcasts on Zoom. I have a simple microphone and I do it from my at-home office and the sound quality is great. But I would say, you know, at a high level, I think you have to make a few decisions. You have to, from a business perspective, and this is something I've learned more, it's actually, most people would say you don't want to start with your podcast, right? Because usually you want to have something to sell, because from a business perspective, your podcast becomes kind of a totally different substitute for a newsletter in a way, because it's a deep form of like, no, trust. But think about it, when people just raise their hand and they want to spend half an hour with you once a week, like they get to really like, know, and trust you. So when I was starting Electric Ideas and I just decided, and I was like, I'm doing it, I knew that I was ready to start the podcast before I even had developed a website, before I even had finalized anything that I could sell. I just was so ready and so excited. And it ended up working out in ways that I didn't expect, because I actually had, it was actually really nice as a first-time entrepreneur for me to be able to build that like, no, trust factor without having anything to sell. Right. I just like really was like, I am here. Like, this is a genuine offer. And now obviously it needs to become a little bit more strategic, and it's fun because now I can use it in different ways. Like when I have an offer, I can talk there and it becomes a lot more circular. But back just to finish your question, I think you just have to make a set of decisions. But really, to start a podcast, all you need is to decide where you're going to record it, when you're going to record it, where it's going to be housed, which gets a little technical, but I promise you can do it if I can do it. And then if you're going to interview guests or do it yourself, mm-hmm. and then what the concept is. So oftentimes, if you are already selling something or an expert in your area, it's pretty easy to just talk about what you do. So that those are the basics. And anybody who's thinking about starting a podcast, I'm passionate about it. I took classes because I was like, I want to do this. And I'm always happy to be a resource because I get excited. I love podcasting.
And you're so good at it. But it's true. It is very easy to start, but I love that you really broke it down too, of like the little things, because when you start, it obviously it's going to grow over time, but you don't know everything when you first start. But knowing the basics, you can really take it and run with it if you want. So even when you did start your podcast, it started to just really be a great space for you to start talking and building that relationship with community as well. And as you started to really do a little more strategic aspects of the podcast with workshops and your mastermind, can you talk about both of those a little bit more?
Yeah. Well, I think a lesson here that really is coming up as you're saying this is give yourself permission to do one piece of business building at a time and let it be okay until it feels secondhand. And so I'd started kind of social media and started having a little bit of a presence there, but I really focused on the podcast. And then I really elaborated on like my branding and built my website while I was doing the podcast after I'd kind of gotten a little bit used to the podcast. So it didn't like throw my nervous system into overdrive. And then I'd done some one-off workshops, but I knew that I wanted to offer something bigger and deeper. So I slowly built out my mastermind. My signature mastermind is called Season to Shift. And I chose to offer it for moms specifically because I made a choice of in my deeper work, who I think I can help the most right now. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important for business owners to think about, especially people that are getting started. Early on, one of my fears was that I was going to alienate people, because I didn't want to be labeled as like a mom blogger or something. Cause I feel like the podcast and my message is broad, but sometimes when you're doing a specific offer, it makes it a lot easier to talk to a more narrow niche of people. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to build that course basically off of a decade of my own trial and error. And using the workshop techniques that I'd already developed and really just build something that I wish I had this kind of roadmap back home for playing and trialing and reclaiming yourself after a period of feeling like you've been responding to a water hose of everyone else's needs, coming up for air and realizing that you're feeling a little detached.
Yeah, no, you brought so many great points up. And I think just even what you're saying, like focusing on one thing at a time, because I know me personally, I have a hard time focusing on one thing at a time. But what the message there that I think I really wanted to pull out was, when we focus on the one thing, we're able to really get hone of that and be able to build upon that and feel like secondhand of like, okay, I got this. Okay, now I'm ready to add something else in there. But, and I think too, what you were saying with building, you're building the podcast and your website and the brand and like how it just all kind of moved further up once you were doing it. But I think really focusing in on, okay, what is important right now? What is my focus right now? Who am I speaking to? Because when you're talking to everyone, it can get really lost. The message, just like if it's a broad brand, but of course you were talking to females in particular, but mm-hmm. then once you went further down to moms, because that's where the space is right now. And I think that's so important to highlight, because understanding when we do have that focus, it allows people to be like, oh, Whitney, she works with moms, or oh, Caroline, she's in solar, like whatever it is, but understanding too, what is that focal point? So I really appreciate you bringing that up. And I know working with moms, I know you're a mom yourself. How has that been, balancing entrepreneurship, motherhood, life, work, everything?
It's taken trial and error and practice, but honestly, it's been so empowering. I've been so happy. I have to be honest, because I literally like get goosebumps talking about this. I'm just, one of the things that literally made me angry as a mom who likes working, you know, who's like has things that I want to offer and I want to be of service to the world, is that there's not, I don't think the world has caught up yet with women being able to do super meaningful part-time or flexible work. Mm-hmm. And I think that I actually think the pandemic maybe will have some silver linings of people realizing when there's a little bit more flexibility, you don't always lose productivity. I mean, people having more balanced lives, being able to take care of themselves and their family, and it might actually lead to more productivity. So I have to be very intentional about my boundaries in terms of work and life. But I ultimately know from my past that burnout doesn't look good on me or feel good to me. And I don't think that if I put myself in that position, that I'm really serving my clients or my community that I'm so sincere about building. And I'm definitely not serving my family. And listen, we all have days, we all have seasons where things get a little out of hand. But I think taking a step back and just asking, how can I make this more simple? What can I cancel or let go of or shift? Like even opportunities that come up, it's like, oh my gosh, it gets really exciting. But sometimes I'm like, can I do this in 2 months? And they're like, sure. And just me knowing that like things aren't just going to poof off into the universe if I don't do them right now, has been part of my learning as well. Mm.
I really appreciate you saying all of that, because I think it's important, even with the opportunities, sometimes we want to do all these great things, but we have to recognize, okay, I don't have the capacity to add one more thing because I will get in that cycle of burnout, or I will just crash and burn. And it will not be a pretty sight if I do that. But I love that you really are able to take that intention, set boundaries for what's important, and being able to ask too, hey, can I do this in 2 months? Is it still going to be available? And if it is, then it's meant to be. If not, there's going to be other opportunities. But I think it's recognizing too, understanding our capacity, and also seasons, like what you mentioned too, it's also the season of life. Maybe right now it's a little more family time versus work time or whatever it is, but recognizing where that energy is going and shifting and how we're showing up, because that's going to be a great indicator of, okay, I can take one more thing on, or no, I need to cancel those plans. I can't do that right now. And that's okay. And not beating ourselves up about it if we don't do it, but recognizing this is really for the benefit of everybody around me and myself too.
Yes, absolutely. And I think just making decisions, I mean, the beauty of entrepreneurship is you get to paint the canvas, and making some decisions about what you want to do, making decisions about what lights you up and what you want to do and how you want to serve the world is great. but you also have to make some decisions of like, I don't. So a couple examples for me is I don't take calls on Mondays or Fridays. I'm telling you, it's a game changer. Like, because on Mondays, I always know I'm going to have a buffer spot to, you know, prepare or do anything. Fridays, I try to be done by noon, and it feels really good to always know I'm going to have time to wrap up, look at the week ahead, take care of family things. And so then it almost becomes a creative challenge to be like, okay, how can I puzzle piece things in? Mm-hmm. I also think that a lot, like, you have to decide how many, maybe a certain amount, like a couple of our considerations that have helped me, like how many calls max or meetings will you take in a day? Mm-hmm. It drove me nuts in my past environment. It would be like people had all these back-to-back meetings and then were like multitasking and running 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes late to everything and always having their laptop. And I'm just like, what are we really doing here? So that's just like another thing for me. I don't do back-to-back meetings or calls or interviews ever. Like I have to have buffer space either for my own peace or just for, I also like to leave space for magic or the unexpected. So when something magical comes up or the unexpected happens, it doesn't throw me into like a major frenzy because I have buffer room in my life and in my work.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's important. I'm taking a lot of notes from you, Wendy. You have a good integration with work and life, but I feel like it's just those non-negotiables too, and creating those spaces that make sense for you. And with everything that you've encountered with your podcast, workshops, masterminds, life, motherhood, what are maybe like your top 2 to 3 tips of being an entrepreneur, being on this journey that have really helped you in this process?
Gosh. I'll start with something that we've talked about, but not totally hit is I think almost like many mothers are to a home, many entrepreneurs are to your brand. So whether you have like, whether you're a solopreneur or have a major team, your energy has a blueprint and ripple effect in everything you do. So when you're feeling off, crabby, funky, I think instead of the old way of muscling through and forcing, mm-hmm. being radically responsible to get curious and try to take a step back, try to go for a walk, try to do something else before you get to the next, you go to the next thing, because you have to have the realization as an entrepreneur is that there's always more you could be doing. Mm-hmm. It's never done and it never will be. And even the things like the more I do, the more I realize I can do. And it's so exciting and exhilarating, but it's also just such the lesson. Like I have to decide that I'm going to do what I can do today with great energy. And then I'm going to be done because I want to be showing through my own life what it means to live with intention and balance. And I goof. I don't always get it right. And life happens. But I really think you need to commit to not letting external pressures and circumstances impact how you're showing up in your business. So that's one. Mm-hmm. Get yourself a community of like-minded people that you can have vulnerable conversations with. So I was very lucky early on when I launched my podcast, through one of the courses I took, I met a few amazing women. And to this day, even though we're all growing businesses in different ways, we all have podcasts, we're from totally different walks of life, totally different ages. We still talk, we have a call once a week, and we just kind of like share and have that really vulnerable space to say, I'm struggling with this. Or, you know, this is, and just having that like partnership and support and sense of collaboration and idea sharing, because entrepreneurship can be a lonely endeavor sometimes, you know? So I think finding a group of positive are like-minded people who genuinely have your back, who you can call when you're stuck with anything from a tech. Like, I've had times where I'm like, I know I can do this, but I so am having resistance to like creating an email list or just like the smallest thing. It's like, I know I can do it, but sometimes you just need a little bit of collaboration and support.
Absolutely. And I think that just to kind of touch on that, I think the vulnerability piece, just being able to feel like you can come to a group of individuals that hear you, you feel seen, and they're going to be able to lift you up and empower you when you're maybe not in your best state of mind or feeling frustrated or having resistance to doing things. I know I have those communities, and I think it's so powerful when we do, because we know we can trust them and they're there to support us, because we all have different like phases of life where it's really great, or sometimes it's rough and it's hard, but knowing that we have people in our corner that want to see us do well and succeed and thrive is so important. But the vulnerability piece of knowing they can be honest with us, but also be supportive at the same time, I think is so key in anything when we have that. So I'm so glad you have that. And it's amazing. You still have that like once a week call as well, just being there for each other, because I think it speaks volumes when we're able to have that. Because a lot of times in entrepreneurship, like you mentioned, it's a lonely road, but some days you want to give up, and knowing that there are people in your corner that aren't going to let you give up because they know what your dream is and they've spoken to you about it. You've spoken to them about it.
Yes. And they believe, having believing mirrors is just so powerful. You know, like me, you get a little bit as you go along after you get over the hump of launching whatever you're going to launch. I feel like you get a little bit desensitized to, and I'm trying to work on this right now, to kind of your accomplishments, because it's just like there's always something more, and I'm always kind of slowly, intentionally unfolding. But it's like I'm trying to do a better job of being like, wow, look at what I like. I've done some things. I've had some really positive things in the past 6 months, because you're so close to it, right? Yes. And having believing mirrors being like, Whitney, I saw you did that. Like, where did that come from? That's amazing. And I'll be like, yeah, it is. It's fun. It's so positive. So I really, I'm glad that we're talking about that.
Like what you mentioned too, it's celebrating those small wins. Because a lot of times, like you're saying, it's just like the next thing. It's like, okay, I did this, I did that. I'm moving forward every step. But when we don't acknowledge those wins, it's great that we have people in our corner like, hey, wait a minute. We have to acknowledge this. We have to celebrate you. Because it's so easy to celebrate in life milestones that are just normal everyday things like engagements, weddings, babies, buying a house, cars, all of those things. But what about business? Like, I know there's a quote, or not a quote, or some like kind of conception about like having baby showers, but we should have business showers too. Mm. And like just really praising when we're starting something new or hitting a milestone in our business and being able to have that support. And I think it's just, I could talk about it for hours.
I'm with you.
But with that being said, I've been so enjoying this conversation, Whitney. But where can people find you, use your services, listen to your podcast? We're going to list everything below, but if you could let us know too.
Yeah, I would be delighted to hear from anybody. I want to be an uplifter and I want to be a resource. So don't hesitate to reach out to me. Right now I hang out a little bit on Instagram, so you can find me there. My handle is at Whitney Women. If you're interested in kind of going deeper with a workshop or the mastermind, my website is myelectricideas.com, and you can find all the info there. And then I'd love for people to tune into the podcast. It's called Electric Ideas with Whitney Baker, and it's available on Apple, Spotify, or pretty much anywhere you seek out your podcasts.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Whitney, for taking the time today, sharing your beautiful energy with us and just your journey of entrepreneurship. I so appreciate it. I'm sure everyone listening does as well. And thank you so much.
Oh, I loved being here. I think you've got an amazing mission, and I'm so glad I got to join you today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And make sure to like, subscribe, comment below. What was the biggest takeaway from Whitney today? I'm sure she would love to see that comment, and we'll see you on the next video.